And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans. And my name is Michael Lindemann, and we are brought to you by the Tillkilt in Frederick, Maryland. The Tillkilt Pub and Eatery, located 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilted Kilt Girls. For more information on the Tillkilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And today is March 5th, and we are going to be taking a look back at four Washington Capitals games. We're going to look at the first games of the NWHL Isabel Cup playoffs, and we're going to do NHL news and notes. Let's just jump right on into it, starting with February 28th against the Chicago Blackhawks for the Capitals in Chicago. The lineup for the Caps was Alex Ovechkin with Nicholas Backstrom and TJ Oshie, Andre Burakovsky with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, Jason Chimera with Marcus Johansson and Tom Wilson, Brooks Lake with Mike Richards and Jay Beagle. Brooks Orpik with Dmitry Orlov was your first defensive pairing. Carl Alzner with Matt Niskanen. Nate Schmidt with Taylor Chorney, which fill out the rest of the defensive pairings with Braden Holtby in the net. Started off the game at 5:13 of the first period. Andrew Desjardins was called for high sticking, and then on that power play at 6:13, Marcus Johansson scored his 15th of the season from Justin Williams and Nicholas Backstrom, their 24th and 40th assists of the season, respectively. Then at 6:44, Patrick Kane would score his 36th of the season from Trevor Van Riemsdyk and Artem Anisimov. Then at 11:25, Trevor Van Riemsdyk was called for delay of game. Then at 11:42, Alex Ovechkin was called for tripping. At the end of the first, the Caps were tied with Chicago 1-1. Shots were 16-6 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 11-7 in favor of Chicago. Hits were 21-14 in favor of the Caps. And the power play was 1-2 for the Capitals and 0-1 for Chicago. This was a very good first period for the Caps and the best first in quite a while, and overall good period for the Caps. And will be interesting to see if the Caps can continue this the rest of the game. Then, going into the second period, Brooks Orpik was called for hooking at 7:42, and then Taylor Chorney was called for tripping at 16:39. On that power play at 18:15, Jonathan Toews scored his 22nd of the season from Tovu Teravainen and Andrew Ladd. Chicago would be up 2-1 at the end of the second. Shots were 21-20 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 21-11 in favor of Chicago. Hits were 38-22 in favor of the Caps. And on the power play, the Caps were 1-2, whereas the Blackhawks were 1-3. This was a much better period for the Blackhawks. They outshot the Capitals 14-4, controlled much of the tempo of the game, and forced the Caps to take penalties. The Caps need to get back to playing like they did in the first period, drawing penalties, outshooting the Blackhawks, and creating scoring chances. Then going into the third period, Andrew Shaw and Tom Wilson would both get called for roughing at 7:59. Then Patrick Kane would be called for high sticking at 8:56. At 12:47, Dennis Rasmussen scored his fourth of the season from assisted by Richard Panik. Then TJ Oshie would be called for interference at 13:05. But then the Chicago bench would be called for too many men on the ice, which would be served by Rasmussen at 15:23. Then Niklas Helmersson was called for unsportsmanlike conduct at 16:34, which on that power play, 5 seconds later, at 16:39, Evgeny Kuznetsov would score his 19th of the season unassisted. At the end of the game, the Chicago Blackhawks would win 3-2. Capitals outshot the Blackhawks 30-23, 9-3 in the period itself. Faceoffs were 31-20 in favor of the Blackhawks. Hits were 47-27 in favor of the Caps. And on the power play, the Caps were 2-5, where the Blackhawks were 1-4. This game had a great start and a great finish, but I feel that the Caps let the second period be a throwaway, and that came back to haunt them. This would have been a great game for the Caps to win and send a message to the rest of the NHL by defeating this defending Stanley Cup champions. But then moving on to March 1st, as the Capitals took on the Pittsburgh Penguins at home. Lineup for the Capitals was Alex Ovechkin, Nicholas Backstrom, and TJ Oshie. Andre Burakovsky, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and Justin Williams. Jason Chimera, Marcus Johansson, Tom Wilson, Jay Beagle with Michael Richards, and Stanislav Galiev. And then on defense, this was Carl Alzner with Matt Niskanen, Brooks Orpik with Dmitry Orlov, and Mike Weber making his Caps debut, paired up with Nate Schmidt with Braden Holtby starting in net. And this would also mark the first game without Brooks Lake on the team for the first time in 12 years. Starting off in the first period at 6:14, Evgeny Malkin scored his 24th of the season from Carl Hagelin and Brian Dumoulin. Then Chris Kunitz was called for tripping at 11:55, which then Carl Alsner was called for cross-checking at 16:30. Then Phil Kessel was called for slashing at 17:01. At the end of the first period, the Pittsburgh Penguins were up 1-0. Shots were 13-10 in favor of the Pens. Faceoffs were 11-9 in favor of the Pens. Hits were 12-6 in favor of the Caps. And the power play was 0-1 and 0-2 for the Pens and Caps, respectively. This was not a good start to the game for the Caps. It took 8 minutes to register their first shot of the game. Plus, due to poor decision-making, the Caps then gave up the first goal of the game. They need to come and play a better game in the second and third periods. And then in the second period, 3:45 into the period, Patrick Hornquist would score his 16th of the season, assisted by Olli Maatta and Sidney Crosby. Then at 4:24, Tom Wilson would score his 6th of the season from Mike Richards and Nate Schmidt, their 1st and 13th of the season, respectively. Then at 5:23, Chris Letang was called for holding, and then Jason Chimera was called for embellishment. At 6:52, Ian Cole was called for hooking, and Dmitry Orlov was called for embellishment. At 11:50, Dmitry Orlov was then called for tripping. And then at 16:03, Evgeny Kuznetsov would score his 20th of the season from Justin Williams and Andrei Burakovsky, their 25th and 18th assists of the season, respectively. At the end of the second period, the game was tied 2-2. Shots were 26-23 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 22-17 in favor of the Caps. Hits were 24-11 in favor of the Caps. And both teams were 0-2 on the power play. Even though this period started on the wrong foot, the Caps were able to turn it around and go into the second intermission tied at 2. After giving up the early goal, the Caps would respond less than a minute later and would bring out a lot of pressure to frustrate the Penguins. I'm not 100% sold on the embellishment calls on the Caps, but in the third period, the Caps need to continue frustrating the Pens and create scoring opportunities. One of the other things I find hilarious is that both embellishment calls should not have been called embellishment, and then the penalty on Dmitry Orlov, there should have been embellishment because he dived. So, what can you do? It happens. You move on. And starting off in the third period, Evgeny Malkin was called for high-sticking at 12:45. And then on that power play at 13:38, TJ Oshie would score his 18th of the season from Matt Niskanen and Nicholas Backstrom, their 23rd and 41st of the season, respectively. The Caps would go on to win the game 3-2. Shots were 37-30 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 30-25 in favor of the Caps. Hits were 32-19 in favor of the Caps. And on the power play, Pittsburgh was 0-2 and the Caps were 1-3. This was a great period for the Caps. They drew a penalty and capitalized on the power play to get the game-winning goal. They kept hitting the Penguins and frustrating them to take them out of their comfort zone. A great comeback win for the Caps. Just need to start off games better and clean up the sloppy play as they gear up for the playoffs. And with that, we are going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to do a quick recap of both Game 1s of the Isabel Cup playoffs and the NWHL. Looking for something action-packed to do on a Sunday evening? Then come out to MCW Arena in Jova, Maryland on March 6th for Maryland Championship Wrestling's Tag Wars 2K16. Come see the Nasty Boys along with WWE Hall of Famers Booker T, Jim Ross, and Jerry the King Lawler. For more information and to purchase tickets to MCW Tag Wars 2K16, visit MarylandWrestling.com. And everyone, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for serious hockey fans, and it's now time to do some NWHL talk, which is brought to you by AwesomeCon. AwesomeCon, which is June 3rd through 5th, 2016 at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, Peter Capaldi, John Berriman, Riddle, and many others. For more information, please visit awesome-con.com. And we're going to start off it with Game 1 of the Boston Pride versus the New York Riveters in Boston. Starting off, Jillian Dempsey had a goal and 3 assists as the league-leading Pride blew out the Riveters 6-0 to take Game 1 of their best-of-3 semifinal series. Brianna Decker scored 2 goals for Boston, while teammates Hillary Knight and Zoe Hickel and Amanda Pelkey also lit the lamp. Brittany Ott made 17 saves to record the first shutout in Isabel Cup playoffs history. Also, Brittany Ott is the only goaltender who had recorded a shutout the entire regular season as well, making her the first ever player in the goaltender in the NWHL to record 2 shutouts. Boston would also outshoot New York 56-17. Now, here's one note to bring into this. Nana Fujimoto did not play the game as a game-time decision due to illness, so Jenny Scrimmins was in the net, first and foremost. Not going to put any blame on Jenny Scrimmins on this one. When you face 56 shots, 56 shots, that is just going to wear you out, especially when it just keeps coming, and coming. I would know because I used to play goalie and I had faced 50 shots in a game before. I faced 60 shots in a game before, and it's not a fun game when you have to face that much rubber. And for the Riveters, 17 shots on goal is not going to cut it against this, you know, Boston team. They're going to have to generate more scoring chances, plus they're going to have to get a lot better defensively in the Boston zone. You know, I know that sounds weird to some people, but here's the thing. You know, the best teams win championships playing defense. But everyone always thinks defense is always done in the defensive zone. You can also play defense in the offensive zone, and it's called keeping the puck in the zone and forcing and tiring out their players. That's essentially what Boston is essentially doing to the Riveters. The Riveters need to turn that around and do it to the Pride. Tonight is game two. Tomorrow, if necessary, is game three. Tonight's game and tomorrow's game will both be on NWHL Cross Ice Pass. You can watch them on there. So that's at 8 p.m. tonight. So I'd like to see the Riveters, you know, go out there, play a much better game, get more play in the Boston Pride zone, for, you know, tire out the Boston players like the way they've been doing to them. Hopefully Nana Fujimoto is healthy enough to play tonight, because honestly, I think she'll be a major factor for the Riveters to potentially steal game two tonight, the force of game three tomorrow, but only time will tell, so we shall see. And then the other game one was the Buffalo Buttes versus the Connecticut Whale in a tightly contested game that saw the Buttes be the more dominant team throughout the game. Kelly Stack's second period goal broke open the tightly contested game as 5 minutes later, Sam Faber would take advantage of a Lindsey Grigg delay of game penalty to give the Whale a 2-0 lead. Kelly Babstock would add an empty netter with 15 seconds left to give the Whale the 3-0 win and a 1-0 series lead. Jamie Leonoff made 35 saves to earn her first NWHL shutout and the first shutout in Whale franchise history. A note for the Buffalo Buttes, both Megan Duggan, Kelly Stedman, and Haley Williams did not play for the Buttes in Game 1. Kelly Stedman has been confirmed for Game 2 tonight. Haley Williams is a game-time decision, and there is no word yet on Duggan. Buffalo outshot Connecticut 35-21. Now, here's my take on the Buttes Whale game. This was happening during the Caps game. I had the Caps game on my tablet like I always do every game, unless, you know, I'm able to watch on the TV, which is every once in a while. The Buttes Connecticut Whale game was live streaming on YouTube. So I was I had on my phone the game of the Buttes and the Whale and the Caps and the Rangers on my tablet. And I was switching between both games, just focusing my attention. And I have to say, I paid a lot more attention to the Buttes Whale because, you know, I couldn't really hear the commentary, whereas I can just listen to Joe being Locker in the background for the Caps and look up when I needed to. For this game, the Buffalo Buttes need to finish. They had so many great opportunities in this game, but they could not finish. They just couldn't finish on those opportunities. They didn't get to the net enough to bank in to try to get rebounds. They didn't cause enough traffic to try to create tips. You know, Megan Bozak, I know it's a call out, but you got to hit the net. You know, there were one too many times when Bozak was on the point doing point shots and all the shots were going wide. What is that going to do for you? It's not going to do anything for you. It's just going to cause your team to be chasing a puck around in the zone. So you got to get the puck on net. And that's the key thing for that right there. So I think Buffalo in tonight's game, which is at 7:30 p.m. up in Connecticut, I think they'll win it because they'll have Stedman back in the lineup, just having her back in the lineup alone will change the dynamic for the Buttes. But at the same time, you know, the rest of the lineup needs to step it up, finish more, and create some chaos in front of Jamie Leonov and get some goals on that board. And, you know, speaking of that, getting goals on the board, there are two shutouts, obviously. Throughout the entire regular season, there was only one shutout. One. In the playoffs already, they've only played two games, two shutouts. So I hope it's not that same way where it's like, if it's going to be a shutout, I'd like it to be 1-0, 2-0, or in this case with the Buttes Connecticut Whale game, 3-0, although the third goal is an empty netter. So you look at it as a 2-0 game. So I'd like to see more competition out of the teams, more goal scoring, and hopefully the Rivers will pick it up in their game, and I hope the Buttes step it up and actually start doing some more finishes and get some pucks behind Jamie Leonoff in the game two tonight. So with that, I'm going to go to break. When I come back, I'll do some more Caps game breakdowns and then NHL news and notes. Ladies and gentlemen, that next big convention's right around the corner, which is AwesomeCon. AwesomeCon, which is June 3rd through 5th, 2016, at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, Marina Baccarin, and many others. For more information, please visit awesome-con.com today. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for a serious hockey fan. And we are jumping right back into the Caps game breakdown, starting with March 2nd against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Lineup for the Washington Capitals was Alex Ovechkin with Nicholas Backstrom, TJ Oshie, Andrei Burakovsky with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, Jason Chimera with Marcus Johansson and Tom Wilson, Daniel Winnick making his Capitals debut with Mike Richards and Jay Beagle. Carl Alzner and Matt Niskanen on defense, along with Brooks Orpik and Dmitriev and Mike Weber and Taylor Chorney as your other D pairings, with Philip Grubauer in the net. In the first period, Brooks Orpik was called for delay of game at 3:18. Then Jay Beagle was also called for delay of game at 12:12. TJ Oshie was then called for cross-checking at 15:09. But at 18:15, Taylor Chorney was able to score his first of the season and first as a Washington Capital from TJ Oshie and Evgeny Kuznetsov, their 19th and 46th of the season, respectively. Then at 18:43, Alex Ovechkin would score his 41st of the season from Nicholas Backstrom and TJ Oshie, their 42nd and 20th, respectively. Then at 18:57, Frank Corrado was called for tripping. At the end of the first period, the Caps were up 2-0. Toronto outshot the Caps 8-6. Faceoffs were 10-4 for the Caps. Hits were 9-7 in favor of Toronto. Toronto was 0-3 on the power play, and the Caps were 0-0 because their first one was only 3 seconds in when the period ended. Outside of the three penalties, the Caps had an overall good first period. Sure, they had to spend a lot of time on the penalty kill, but after their third penalty, the Caps' offense took over. Keys for the Caps for the rest of the game is to stay out of the box and generate more shots on net. Going into the second period, 1:37 into the period, Nikita Shoshnikov scored his first career NHL goal from Nazem Kadri and Matt Hunwick. Then Jason Chimera was called for hooking at 1:44. Then Nikita Shoshnikov was called for interference at 3:45. Matt Niskanen was then called for roughing along with Nikita Shoshnikov at 3:45, and Nazem Kadri was called for cross-checking at the 20-minute mark or at the end of the period. At the end of the second period, the Cavs were up 2-1. Shots were 22-12 in favor of the Maple Leafs, who outshot the Capitals 14-6 in that period. Faceoffs were 20-13 in favor of the Caps. Hits were 18-13 in favor of Toronto. On the power play, the Leafs were 0-4, and the Caps were 0-2, with their third one going to start in the third period. This was not how the Caps wanted to play in the second period. They gave up a goal in the opening minutes and were dominating the shot category 14-6. The Caps start the third period with a power play, and they need to capitalize on it if they expect to get a lead on a youthful Toronto Maple Leafs. And then going into the third period at 8:16, the Toronto Maple Leafs got back on the board to tie the game with Colin Greening scoring his second of the season for Peter Holland and Connor Carrick. And then Nikita Shoshnikov was called for boarding at 9:20. Then on that power play, the Caps would get the power play goal from Matt Niskanen at 9:31, his fourth of the season, from Nicholas Backstrom and TJ Oshie, his 43rd and 21st of the season. And the Caps would go on to win the game 3-2, Shots were 29-23 in favor of the Maple Leafs. Faceoffs were 36-22 in favor of the Caps. Hits were even at 26 apiece. And on the power play, Toronto was 0-4 and the Caps were 1-4. This was a good win for the Caps, but I felt that they could have done so much more in this game against a very young and inexperienced Maple Leafs team. The win was good, but with the Caps' next five games up against potential playoff-bound teams, they need to play a lot better. And as a side note, it was very interesting seeing Brooks Laich in another team's uniform for the first time in a very, very long time. And obviously, want to wish the best of luck to Brooks Laich in Toronto once again. And of course, everybody, you know, Monday I was joined by my buddy Dixon. We did a trade deadline special. You can, you know, listen to that. You know, the link is up on the archive for all to listen. So, you know, so don't expect me to go over the trades during the NHL news notes. I already went over them on another episode, so don't expect it. And then moving on to the New York Rangers game on, which was last night, the fourth lineup for the Capitals was Alex Ovechkin, Nicholas Backstrom, and T.J. Oshie, Andrei Burakovsky, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and Justin Williams, Jason Chmerov, Marcus Johansson, and Tom Wilson, Danny Winnick with Michael Richards, and Jay Beagle. Defense pairings were Carl Alsner, Matt Niskanen, Brooks Orpik with Dmitry Orlov, Mike Weber with Taylor Chorney, and Braden Holtby in the net. And to start the game at 5:47, Jesper Fast scored his ninth of the season from Dan Girardi and Ryan McDonagh. Then Mark Stahl was called for tripping with 8 minutes into the game. JT Miller was then called for roughing along with Jay Beagle at 11:02. Carl Alsner was called for tripping at 15:33, which on that power play, Keith Yandle would score his fifth of the season at 16:37 from Derek Brassard and Derek Stepan. The Rangers would go on to go into the first intermission up 2-0. Shots were even at 8 apiece. Faceoffs were 13-7 in favor of the Caps. Hits were 7-3 in favor of the Rangers. Rangers were 1-1 on the power play, and the Caps were 0-1 on the power play. The Caps started off great in the opening minutes, but then they let their foot off the gas, and as a result, they're down 2-0 going into the first intermission. The Caps need to get their game going and really put the pressure on Antti Raanta and make him fight to stop the puck. Then going into the second period at 10:58, Jay Beagle will score his seventh of the season, which was unassisted, and then Tanner Glass would be called for slashing at 18:19, which on that power play at 19:20, TJ Oshie would score his 19th of the season, also unassisted. The Caps and the Rangers would be tied 2-2 going into the second intermission. Shots were 23-19 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 23-13 in favor of the Caps. Hits were 19-14 in favor of the Caps. And the Rangers were 1-1 on the power play, and the Caps were 1-2. The first half of the second period was not the best, but once we hit the halfway mark, the Caps woke up and the fourth line led the way by getting the first goal on the board. After a lengthy review of the first goal, you could see the puck Rangers frustration setting in, and the Caps were able to use that to take advantage. The Caps need to keep the pressure on the Rangers and stay out of the box. And going into the third period, 17 seconds in, Derek Stepan scored his 15th of the season from Ryan McDonagh. And then at 56 seconds into the period, Justin Williams would call for slashing. The Rangers would go on to win 3-2. Shots were 34-23 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 35-21 in favor of the Caps. Hits were 27-21 in favor of the Caps. And both teams were 1-2 on the power play. A fluke goal caused by poor coverage in their own zone doomed the Caps. Plus, after the Rangers scored what would be the game-winning goal, they made it very difficult on the Caps to generate any true scoring chances. Caps need to kickstart their four-game road trip in Boston on the right foot if they expect to not drop two straight games in regulation. And with that, we're going to go to break, and I'm going to do NHL news and notes. And like you've already said, I'm not going to cover the NHL trade deadline. I already did a special episode just for that, which you can go into the archive for. So with that, I'll be back to do NHL news and notes.
Tilted Kilt girl Brittany here. Need a place to watch the game? Come to the Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Tilted Kilt Frederick, home of the world-famous Tilted Kilt girls, come to the best-looking sports pub you've ever seen for all your Washington Capitals games viewing pleasure. For more information on the Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans. And it is now time for NHL News and Notes. And we start off with February 27th with Washington Capitals defenseman John Carlson being out 3 to 4 weeks with a lower body injury. Then the Arizona Coyotes claim forward Jiří Šekeš off waivers from the Chicago Blackhawks. Philip Forsberg would score 3 consecutive goals in the second period, and Pekka Rinne denied all 28 shots he faced as the Nashville Predators defeated the St. Louis Blues 5-0. This would mark Forsberg's second Nashville hat-trick in 3 games. Forsberg would become the first player in Predators history to earn multiple hat-tricks in a season as well. Mika Zibanejad would score 3 consecutive goals in a span of 2:38 to power the Ottawa Senators to a 6-4 win against the Calgary Flames. This marked the first career hat-trick of Zibanejad's NHL career. Tanner Pearson scored twice, and Jonas Enroth denied all 23 shots he faced as the Los Angeles Kings earned their 4th consecutive victory. And I have no idea why I wrote injury on there, but whatever, we'll go with that. And then Brad Richards, playing in his 5th NHL outdoor game, scored with a minute left to break a tie and help the Detroit Red Wings defeat the Colorado Avalanche 5-3 in the front of 50,095 fans at Coors Field in the 2016 NHL Stadium Series. Peter Mrazek made 24 saves, Tomas Tatar, Gustav Nyquist, Justin Abdelkader, and Darren Helm also scored for the Red Wings. Nathan MacKinnon, Tyson Barrie, and Alex Tanguay would score for the Avalanche, while Semyon Varlamov made 23 saves. Corey Perry on the 28th, Corey Perry factored on all 4 of his team's goals, including the game winner at 1:27 of the third period, to guide the Anaheim Ducks to their 8th consecutive win and a 15-1-1 record in their past 17 games. On the 29th, NHL Stars of the Week ending 2:28 were announced. First star was Philip Forsberg, left wing of the Nashville Predators. Forsberg recorded 2 natural hat tricks and added 1 assist in 4 games as the Predators recorded 4 wins to finish the week in the first wildcard spot in the Western Conference. Second star of the week was Ryan Callahan, right winger of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Callahan tied for second in the league with 6 points in 3 games as the Lightning won all 3 starts to finish the week second in the Atlantic Division, riding a 6-game winning streak overall. And the third star of the week was Mike Condon, goalie of the Montreal Canadiens. Condon posted a 2-0-1 record with a 1.63 goals against average and a .949 save percentage as the Canadiens gained 5 of a possible 6 standing points. Then on the 29th, the Edmonton Oilers signed defenseman Brandon Davidson and goalie Laurent Brossoit to 2-year contracts. The Oilers then claimed forward Adam Cracknell off waivers from the Vancouver Canucks and defenseman Adam Party from the Winnipeg Jets. The Ottawa Senators announced that Kyle Turris is out indefinitely with a sprained ankle that's been nagging him since December 5th when he collided with New York Islanders forward Casey Zizekas. Patrick Hornquist factored on 4 of the Penguins' 6 unanswered goals to lead them to a 6-0 victory against the Arizona Coyotes. Hornquist had the first hat-trick of his NHL career and added an assist to record a career-high 4 points. Braden Schenn registered the first career hat-trick of his NHL career to lift the Philadelphia Flyers to a 5-3 win against the Calgary Flames, their third straight win, and give them a 5-1-1 record in their past 7 games. Tyler Johnson had his first multi-goal game of the season to power the Tampa Bay Lightning to a 2-1 win against the Toronto Maple Leafs and their 7th consecutive victory. And Joe Pavelski, Joe Thornton, and Brent Burns all collected 3 points each to propel the San Jose Sharks to a 6-2 win against the Montreal Canadiens. On March 1st, the Edmonton Oilers center Connor McDavid, who led all rookies with 12 assists and 17 points in 14 games, has been named the NHL's Rookie of the Month for February. And then the 3 stars of the month for February were also announced, first star being Ryan Getzlaf, center of the Anaheim Ducks. Getzlaf led all players with 6 goals, 14 assists, and 20 points, and had a plus 13 rating in 14 games to power the Ducks to a 12-1-1 February. Second star of the month was Alex Ovechkin, left winger for the Washington Capitals. Ovechkin shared first overall with 12 goals in 13 games to guide the league-leading Capitals to a 10-4-0 February. And then the third star of the month was Philip Forsberg, left winger for the Nashville Predators. Forsberg also tied for the league lead with 12 goals in 13 games to lift the Predators to a 7-3-3 February and the first wildcard spot in the Western Conference. Also on March 1st, Boston Bruins forward Zach Rinaldo has been suspended for 5 games without pay for an illegal check to the head of Tampa Bay Lightning forward Cedric Paquette in Boston on February 28th. The NHL's Department of Player Safety announced Rinaldo is considered a repeat offender under the terms of the CBA, and based on his average annual salary will forfeit $51,829.25. Connor McDavid would score both Edmonton Oilers goals, including the overtime winner after a near miss by Jack Eichel, to lift the Oilers past the Buffalo Sabres in the first NHL game between McDavid and Eichel, the top two selections from the 2015 NHL draft. Then Shea Weber had his fourth three-point game of the season to help the Predators to their fifth consecutive victory, a 5-3 win over the Dallas Stars. Charlie Coyle scored two goals, including the tie-breaking goal at 5:34 of the third period to propel the Minnesota Wild over the Colorado Avalanche 6-3. Nino Niederreiter and Jason Pominville had 3 points each to help the Wild in the win. The Ottawa Senators erased a three-goal lead or deficit, highlighted by the tying goal of 0.1 seconds remaining in the third period. But Patrick Berglund scored in the 11th round of the shootout to lift the St. Louis Blues over the Sens. Then on March 2nd, the Ottawa Senators signed center Scott Gomez to a prorated $575,000 contract for the remainder of the 2015-16 regular season. However, if the Ottawa Senators make the playoffs, Gomez would not be eligible to play, according to a report by Sportsnet. All eight teams in the World Cup of Hockey announced their preliminary 16-man rosters. Representing the Washington Capitals thus far in the World Cup are defensemen John Carlson and forward TJ Oshie for Team USA, goalie Braden Holtby for Team Canada, defensemen Dmitry Orlov and forwards Evgeny Kuznetsov and Alex Ovechkin for Team Russia, and forward Nicholas Backstrom for Team Sweden. And I just have to say, out of all eight jerseys that were unveiled, Sweden comes in second place, Russia comes in third place, but that number one jersey to me was Team Canada's jersey. I loved Canada's jersey with the white. When you look at the red jersey, it had the white leaf on the sleeves. I liked how they did that. It's a tribute back to like the way it was back in like the 80s and stuff, and I really enjoyed that. So if I'm able to, I might actually pick up a Braden Holtby Team Canada jersey. That would be kind of cool to have. So moving on. John Gibson denied all three shooters in the shootout, and Jacob Silverberg scored the decisive goal to power the Anaheim Ducks to a 3-2 shootout win against the Montreal Canadiens, their ninth consecutive win and a 16-1-1 record in their past 18 games. And then also on March 2nd, Artemi Panarin scored twice, and Patrick Kane and Brent Seabrook each had 3 points as the Chicago Blackhawks won 5-2 against the Detroit Red Wings. On 3-3, March 3rd, New Jersey Devils forward Joseph Blandisi has been fined $2,000 as supplementary discipline under NHL Rule 64, diving and embellishment, the NHL announced. And also that day, the NHL also announced that New Jersey Devils forward Devontae Smith-Pelly has been fined $2,000 as supplementary discipline under NHL Rule 64, diving and embellishment as well. Corey Perry collected 3 points to power the Anaheim Ducks to their 10th consecutive victory, 5-1 against the Arizona Coyotes, matching their franchise record set from December 6th to 28th of 2013. Cam Talbot made 35 saves, and Nail Yakupov would score what would be the game-winning goal to lead the Edmonton Oilers to 4-0 win against the Philadelphia Flyers. Jaromir Jagr notched a first-period assist to tie Gordie Howe for third place on the NHL's all-time points list at 1,850 points. The only two men that are ahead of him are in first place Wayne Gretzky and in second place Mark Messier. And then on March 4th, Arizona Coyotes forward Max Domi has been suspended for one game without pay for instigating a fight during the final 5 minutes in Arizona on March 3rd. The NHL Department of Player Safety announced Domi's suspension is automatic under Rule 46.22. Domi will forfeit $4,641.58. And lastly, for March 4th, Kari Lehtinen made 18 saves and Colton Sekouriver scored the game-winning goal at 11:24 of the second period as the Dallas Stars topped the New Jersey Devils and ended a four-game losing streak. With that said, the road ahead for the Washington Capitals starts tonight, March 5th at 7 p.m. at the Boston Bruins. Then on March 7th at 10 p.m., they're at the Anaheim Ducks. And on the 9th, they are at 10:30 p.m. there at the Los Angeles Kings. Like I was saying before in the breakdowns, the Caps have to really kick it up a notch. Anaheim has won 10 consecutive games, conceivably could have 11 consecutive games by the time the Caps get to them. So the Caps have to be on their A game with Anaheim. They got to be on their A game with Los Angeles, who's the top of the Pacific Division right now. You know, Boston is scrapping for a playoff spot. You know, they're in the wild card picture right now with Pittsburgh. So, you know, obviously they're going to be hungry for points. So the Caps are going to have to come out and just step up and play their game and just pretty much show why they are the best team in the league right now. But right now, I'm not impressed that they can do that. I also wouldn't be surprised if it's in this little stretch that the Caps finally lose two games in regulation back-to-back. So with that said, you know, I want the Caps to do good. I want them to win. But at the same time, you know, they got to step up. So with that, this has been the Experience Hockey Talk. Serious hockey talk for serious hockey fans. I'm Michael Lindebaum. You can follow the podcast at Experience Hockey and on Facebook at facebook.com/Experience Hockey Talk. And as always, we are brought to you by the Tilkilt in Frederick, Maryland. The Tilkilt Pub in Erie, located 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic themed sports pub featuring the world famous Tilkilt girls. For more information on the Tilkilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And note, we'll have an NWHL special on Wednesday, and we'll have a regular episode next Saturday as well. So until then, we'll see you on the ice.